If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd like to turn to Matthew 28:18, you'll know it extremely well. Alison, would you like to read that for me?
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Thank you so much, Alison. We could spend months on this two verses, but I wanted this morning just to share a little part of what I believe God has put on my heart for us this morning. Here we are, glorious Cyprus, and yet none of us here were born here. So it's interesting. It just struck me this morning, it says, go and make disciples of all nations, and yet here we are, all nations in Cyprus. God works in paradoxes, and I love that. I remember 30 years ago when I first became a Christian. And as most new Christians are, so hungry for God and for everything of God. And I would read books and all kinds of things. And some of my favorites were the missionaries and people of great faith who had gone into the world and done amazing things for God. You've probably all got your favorite stories and your favorite ones. People like Corrie ten Boom, who just, you know, blows your mind with what she did. Even David Livingstone, who's well known as an explorer, was of course primarily an evangelist and went into Africa for that purpose. So I read all these stories and I was so amazed and fascinated by them. And reading this verse, and I went, okay, God, if I'm to go into a different nation, if, I don't know, please can I go somewhere warm, because I really don't do the cold. 30 years later, here I am in Cyprus. Never thinking for a minute that I would actually ever leave England. So even after all those thoughts, I just thought, it's not me. It's not what I'm going to do. Move forward 10 years, and Michael and I, having gone through some quite major troubles in our lives and trauma, decided we'd live abroad. Isn't God good? How it came to be Cyprus is another story. It's amazing, really, because Michael and I had spent a lot of years on holiday in the Greek islands, and we love the Greek islands. Every summer, our 2 weeks, annual, sit on a beach, thank you very much, this is wonderful. So when we decided to move abroad, we knew that wherever we went, we were still in our 40s then, we would have to work. So the Greek islands, much as we loved them, were not for us, because the only work you could get if you couldn't speak the language was working in the tourist areas. And the tourist areas, mega busy from May to October, nothing in the winter. That's not the kind of life we wanted to lead. So we looked at various other countries. We went to Spain. We went to Portugal. We went all over the place. Nothing was right. We had our house on the market. It wasn't selling. Nothing was right. And then I got so cheesed off with the whole thing. I said to Michael, we're taking the house off the market, I'm fed up. I said, we're going to just do a few repairs in the house and we'll see what happens. You notice God isn't in any of this. That's what we did. We took the house off the market. We went on for a couple of months, and then one night I went to bed and I had a dream. And God said to me, you're going to Cyprus. Now, we looked at Cyprus, but it was expensive compared to the other places. And we thought out of our range. But God said very clearly in this dream, you're going to Cyprus. I came down the next morning, I looked at Michael and I said, we're going to Cyprus. Because God said so. And he went, okay, okay, that's where we'll go. So then we said, right, we'll put the house back on the market. If this is God's will for our lives, he will work it out. We put the house back on the market. Michael started on a very basic internet. I mean, we're going back a bit now, guys. Searches for Cyprus and what have you. Found some houses that he liked the look of. I called the estate agent and said, we're putting the house back on the market. And he said, okay, fine. He came and took a whole new load of pictures, put it on the market. He phoned me 12 hours later and said, I've got a viewing. They're really keen. They came the next morning, viewed it and bought it. God knew what he was doing. I don't. And that, for me, was a turning point in our lives. We came to Cyprus because I believe we put God first. So how did that come about? Romans 12:2. Let's look it up together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It was the renewing of my mind that we came, because I put God first. And that all depends, I believe, on two things. It is our relationship with God himself and the learning of him in the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 2:16, I beg your pardon, it says, we have the mind of Christ. So we already have his mind. So by letting him renew our minds, renewing our thoughts, we can then discern God's will for our lives. It's having that mind that God is in control. Michael will tell you his testimony one day. I'm going to make sure everybody shares. About how he understood finally, and how he became a believer, that he wasn't in charge of his own life. There was someone else, and that was God. So we do have the mind of Christ. We have to renew it. We have to look at God and say, you are first. It is you that I want. And God transforms us. We don't transform ourselves. We renew our minds, but God does the transformation in our lives. So by renewing our minds, we discern God's will for our lives. So people have said over the years, I don't know what God's will is for my life. This is God's will for your life. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That is the will of God for you. How that looks is different for every single one of us. And even if you're a visitor here today and Cyprus is not your home country, wherever you are, you still have the same command. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. That is the will of God for our lives. So, knowing his will is easy. Knowing his plan is where the problems start. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans, in my version, for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I love these words. I know the plans. We don't know the plans. God does. I'm so thankful for that. If I look back over the last 30 years, and if I was 30 years ago and I could see what I could see now, I'd probably go, thanks God, but no. I think a lot of us would. We don't know the plans that God has. But what we do know is that God has a perfect plan. for each of our lives. Amen. And that each of our plans is different. Your plan is not my plan. My plan is not your plan. Because God knows you as an individual and he loves you as an individual, and therefore his plan for your life is perfect. That's how God is. That's how he works. He treats us totally as individuals. And on top of that, he gives us the gifts to do it. And he gives you the gifts for you. Your gifts are not my gifts, and my gifts are not your gifts. He has gifted you perfectly to fulfill his plan for your life. And I so believe this. When God is center of everything that you do, it's just, you're walking in his plan. But that plan requires you to do something. It requires you to walk in obedience. When my plans originally about moving abroad went so wrong, it was because God was not on the throne of my heart. This coming Wednesday, Michael and I are celebrating 48 years of marriage. Gold medals to me, please. But he's not on the throne of my heart. God is. And the wonderful thing about that is, when it's God that takes centre stage in your life, all the love that God is, all the love that God has, you filter through that to other people. I can love him so much more through Christ because I have God's love in me. He loves Michael infinitely more than I do. Infinitely more. He saved him forever. He paid the price for him. I didn't. And I love this kind of bits. But God loves him infinitely more. And because God is on the throne of my life, I can love him through Christ. Now, who was on the throne of my life when I made all those decisions, or we made, years ago? Self. Self was on the throne of my heart. My will be done. You see, the throne of your heart is your will. And we pray, don't we, your will be done. But actually, when self is on the throne, it's my will. It's what I want. It's what I believe. It's where I'm going. It's what's important to me. And it's taking self off the throne, putting God on the throne. Because he has the perfect plan for you. He adores you. He loves you. He thinks you're the best thing since sliced bread, people. He really does. So if he's on the throne of your heart, if you're walking in his ways, then you are walking in perfection of his plan. It's all gloriously good news, people. It really is. It's wonderfully good news. We need one more thing, I believe, when it comes to God's will for our lives. Apologies to the ladies in ladies' group, because I have flogged this horse for several weeks. But to me, these words were a revelation. I've read them I don't know how many times in the past. But suddenly I was reading these for a study, and it was like God stopped me and went, read them again. And I read them again, and he went, read them again. And I read them again. And in my heart, I'm going, God, what are you teaching me? What are you showing me here? And he went, my word is a lamp to your feet. By looking at your feet and God illuminating your feet, you know where you're standing. Are you standing on the rock that is Jesus Christ? Is that where you're standing? Is that the firm ground that you are standing on? And then he says, and my light to my path. God shows us the way. He's a good God. He doesn't show us the whole journey because we go, thank you very much, and walk away. He shows us as much as we need to know. And sometimes, you know, we can be stuck on that path for a while. Because either God is trying to teach us something, he's trying to build our faith, our obedience, our trust, our love, our time with him, whatever it may be. And when we are ready, and he knows we're ready, he illuminates the next bit. God is so good. He is so good. If 30 years ago, people, somebody had said to me, Carol, in 30 years, you're going to be standing up preaching in front of a church, I'd have laughed. I would have laughed at them. But God is good, and he knows what he's doing. It's up to us to obey. So let me just this morning, guys, we're here in Cyprus. God's plan for us as a fellowship as well, I believe, is to move us forward. We can make disciples here in Cyprus all by ourselves. But if we work together with the unique giftings that God has given every single one of us, remember when the body of Christ comes together, I believe we can do amazing things. And I believe we can do amazing things in this community and in this place. And wherever your permanent home is, you can do the same there. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. Seek him. Put him on the throne of your heart. And just let God be God. We are a body. Christ is the head. We serve him always. Amen.